Shalom Aleichem, friends. This is Shlomo Katz, and you're listening to The Soul of Israel on thelandofisrael.com, on the Land of Israel Network. It's almost Pesach. We're right there. About to approach the Seder table, that eternal table of life, which has infused us not just with hope, but with also actual, real levels of emunah, of believing that not only will everything be okay, it already is okay. Let's sing a little bit from the Haggadah, from the Seder table. Open our hearts a little bit, sing a bit more, and wish each other the most meaningful Passover. V'shana ba b'Yerushalayim, b'Yerushalayim. V'shana ba b'Yerushalayim, b'Yerushalayim. V'shana ba b'Yerushalayim, b'Yerushalayim. V'shana ba Yerushalayim, Yerushalayim, L'shana ba, Yerushalayim, L'shana ba, Yerushalayim, la 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 la. Shalom again, friends. Every year as we approach Pesach, I'm always reminded by the following story, which I heard as a teenager, which really stuck somewhere really deep. It had a big impression on me. Although it might seem like a very cute Hasidic two-minute tale, to me it says much more than that. It's told about the first Vizhnitsa Rebbe, the Rebbe of the Vizhnitz dynasty to come to Israel, found himself walking on the streets of Tel Aviv as he landed here. It's approximately 90 years ago, I think. Maybe 80 years ago, between 80 and 90 years ago. Someone approached the Rebbe and said, Shalom Aleichem, peace unto you, blessings unto you. And the Rebbe asked him, how are you doing? Maybe in Hebrew he said, Mashlomcha, Manishma. Mashlomcha, he probably said. And when the Jew, the modern Israeli Jew, answered back to the Rebbe turned back to his Hasidim with a face filled with awe, filled with wonder, filled with excitement, but maybe possibly filled with some questions. They asked the Rebbe, what did the person say back to you? How did he respond? So the Rebbe turned to his Hasidim and said, I asked him how he's doing, and he told me the most real answer that anyone has ever given me. What did he say, Rebbe? He said, Hakol Beseder, which means in modern Hebrew, everything's okay. So the Hasidim didn't understand. They said, Rebbe, what did he say that was so special, that was so different? So the Rebbe said, didn't you hear what he said? Hakol, everything, Beseder, which means is in the Seder. Beseder, in the Seder. And the Rebbe was hinting to what all the great Kabbalists and masters, mystical masters, explained to us. That the night of Seder Pesach, Passover night, the first night where we became free people, in Kabbalistic terms, it's called Mochin de Gadlut, which means it's a mind of expansive mindset. It's a night where when the gates are open, and if we walk through those gates, we can grasp things about God, about the people of Israel, and about our own selves more than we could any other night of the year. All nights are holy. All nights have potential for Kedusha. All nights have potential to truly taste and feel special and close. But there's one night, Seder night, which is also known as Leil Shimurim. Leil Shimurim means a night where, a night of guarding. A night of guarding. But it's so much more than just a night of guarding. Reb Shlomo Carlebach used to call it, it's a night of basically learning patience. It's a night of learning how to guard those places in you that you don't want to erupt. It's the night of teaching yourself how to hold on, how to not run, to be in that place of frenzy, of anger, of angst, of tension, but rather to let yourself be on God's time. And on God's time, 210 years of slavery could be like 1 second of slavery. So that night of Leil Shimurim, of the night of guarding, the night of learning patience, the night of all the beautiful things that we said before, that's all found in the Seder, which is what we said. That's all found in how we refer to the night of Pesach. So that's why when the person said to the Hasidic Rebbe, Hakol B'Seder, he thought that they were saying everything is found in the Seder table, which is definitely, definitely true. We meet ourselves on Pesach night in ways we don't usually have the opportunity of meeting ourselves like that throughout the year. Something happens to us Seder night, and instead of it being another night where we have to go through many different customs, tonight I wanted to choose one thing to focus on, which will hopefully be a theme of the night. And instead of seeing how everything is in order as a Seder, we're going to see that some things, you just got to completely reverse them and kind of take some Purim energy of v'nahafochu, flipping them upside down the other way to grasp its depth and to see what our sages and the composer of the Haggadah, which is a whole story of its own, what the composer of the Haggadah and all the sages have left for us to kind of crack open. But before that, I want to sing for you a song that I sing every year with my father since I'm a little kid. It's one of my favorite songs all year long. I wait for it all year long, but I only get to really sing it Seder night. And this is the opening song.
Alachma, alachma anya, di achalu, achalu avatana, be'ara be'ara de mitzai, be'ara be'ara de mitzai, kol lichvin yitei ve'yichol, kol litzlich Shanta acha le shana haba behar ade Yisrael Ashata avdei le shana haba
Which literally means, right now, this is the bread of affliction which our forefathers ate in Egypt. Halachma anya de'achalu avatana, which our forefathers ate in Egypt. And then we open that up to everybody. Kol dichven yetei ve'yechol. Whoever wants to come in, he's open to come inside and start eating with us. Because the way the Jews eat, it's not just a regular meal. On Seder night, we learn how much of a holy role the food itself plays, the matzah, Reb Shlomo used to call spiritual soap. It's the soap we all long to get a hand of on cleansing our neshamas and cleansing our souls. And everything about the food and the drinking and the Seder table and what's on the Seder table all has its specific, holy, unique order. Speaking of orders, I wanted to speak about something that we need to flip around. In a very, very interesting way. You know how the great Hasidic masters explain that on Seder night, that since it's called a night of expansive consciousness, Mochin de Gadlut, we have a chance to look at people that we think we know and that we think we're close to and that we assume feel close to us, and we get to look at them in ways and in manners which we usually don't allow ourselves to. And the one night to look at your children, friends, is Seder night. So much is based around the child's role in our holidays. But specifically, I would say that when it comes to three major holidays, the child is at the center. Hanukkah, Purim, and Pesach. But since we are speaking about Pesach, about Passover, let's just focus on where the child shines. What's his role during not just Seder night, but rather all of Passover, all the days of Pesach. So when you look at a child at the Seder table, you right away think about the four sons. That number four comes to life a lot during the Seder, but really we speak about the four different children: the Chacham, the Rasha, the Tam, v'she'eno yodeh lishol. I just want to tell you off the bat, translating these words into English, even though I know what they might literally mean, don't come close to what they truly mean for our intents and purposes. For instance, the Chacham, is he just the wise one? Let's say that for now. We'll say he's the wise one. Second child, the Rasha. Is he the evil one? Let's leave that for now. We'll say we're talking about the evil one. The Tam. Tam can mean many things in Hebrew. Simple, pure, naive, complete, wondrous. And She'eino Yodeh Lishol, which we usually understand to mean the one who doesn't even know how to ask a question. However, everyone knows that heartbreakingly, and in a beautiful way, the Lubavitcher Rebbe, may his soul rest in Eden forever, and only go higher and higher. He explained that there's a fifth child, and that fifth child is the child that doesn't even show up to the Seder table. So for a second, friends, I want you to zone in and think about one person who you know, maybe one person who you don't know, but you know exists in the world, who, it's not that he doesn't have an invitation for the Seder table, but he takes a pass. Not only does he take a pass from every Shabbos, every other holiday, and even Yom Kippur, but even Seder night, he is so does not feel part of the family. But just know, Ha'ipalem Hashem Davar, is there anything too wondrous for God to do? You never know who's going to end up showing up at your Seder table. You truly never know. So the Rebbe said, we set a chair for that kid who doesn't even show up, but maybe one day perhaps will have that feeling of, I gotta come back home no matter what, no matter what I'm feeling, no matter all the pain, no matter all the strife, despite all the conflicting emotions which are happening inside, and I'm gonna show up. And he'll show up and he'll see there was a chair waiting for him that whole time. Wow, what an incredible moment that would be. That's the fifth son. But we just described the four children, the wise, the wicked, the Tam, could also mean like the stupid one, the one who's just so naive, and the one who doesn't know how to ask. But that's a really, you know, bad translation. Because as we said before, certain things need to be flipped over, and according to Kabbalistic sources, it's really the other way around. The lowest of the four kids is the Chacham, is the wise one, because he's so wise, he thinks that he knows everything. But really, he is so lost. On an intellectual level, he's sure that he has more knowledge than anyone else. He has a few PhDs hanging on his wall. But Ribbono Shel Olam, Master of the World, he's in such a low exile. And during the Seder, we were trying to get him out of that little Egypt that he's created for himself, thinking that basking in the tree of knowledge is actually a high accomplishment. The next son that we see on the list is the wicked son, the Rasha. But he's a little bit less in exile. He's still in exile, but he's a little bit less in exile than the Chacham and the wise one, which we'll get to in a second. Then comes the Tam who's whole, complete, but naive. And then She'eino Yodeh Lishol is the one who can't even ask a question. Now, just we skipped over the Rasha and the Tam, but the lowest we said was the Chacham, and the She'eino Yodeh Lishol, the one who doesn't even know how to open his mouth, how to ask in Kabbalistic terms, is the one who is completely unaware of how holy he is. She'eino Yodeh Lishol, he doesn't even know what to say, where to begin, because he himself holds nothing. Meaning, you got to put it this way. Like Reb Shlomo Karbach would often say, let's take the four sons to the holy wall. And based on their experience at the holy wall, and this is really brilliant, we'll be able to see a little bit more what they're about. So he would say, imagine I take the four sons to the holy wall. I take the intellectual, the chacham. What does he do at the holy wall? He gives me a whole lecture, a whole speech about exactly when the wall was built, the whole archaeological history. He knows it all. He knows everything. It's great. But, you know, you can give me speeches about buildings at the Rockefeller Center, at the Eiffel Tower, at the even the Brooklyn Bridge. Because that person that's there to explain to you when things were built, how they were built, he's not standing by the holy wall. He's giving a lecture like he's standing on some kind of campus in university. You know, and then, so then we go to the Russia. We go to the Russia, we go to the wicked person. And what does he say by the Kotel? He says, I want you to know this whole wall is all fake. It's all shtuyot. It's a Zionist conspiracy. So like we said before, he's a little bit, you know, less in exile, but he's still there. Then comes the Tam, and the Tam is just like this wondrous, complete, pure, innocent person who looks at the wall, at the holy wall, and says, wow, this is really the holy wall. And he's just in awe of the fact that he's standing in front of it. He doesn't dissect it. He doesn't analyze it. He doesn't give his opinion, nor his historical, emotional, or religious opinion pertaining to the wall. But he acknowledges and he sees that it's there. And then comes that person that we say, She'eino yodea lishol, who doesn't even know how to say anything. He can't even open his mouth. He can't even say, wow, this is the holy wall, because for him, words don't come close to expressing that which is probably taking place inside. So regarding that person, the fourth one, the answer to him is at ptachlo. God, only you can open a person's lips like that. Only a person who is truly in awe and completely in utter wonder over the fact that he has life and he's privileged to witness life and experience life, a person like that, only then is the one that can, God, you go, and he deserves to hear it straight from you. Now, the Chacham, the Rasha, the Tam, and the Shenoy, the Elishol, these four boys, for us today, if I told you, okay, figure out which one you are, we'd go nuts. Why would we go nuts? Because truthfully, when you pause and you internalize this whole thing, you'll realize we are all four of them. In fact, we're all five of them, including the son that the Baba Tzurabi added to the table, the son that doesn't even show up. Sometimes we don't even show up to ourselves. We're not even there. We don't even attend that which is waiting for us in life, in our families, in our loves, in our hearts, in our relationships with people. But putting that aside for a second, we really do see ourselves as sometimes the person that thinks he has to give a history lecture in order to impress ourselves and others. Sometimes we do feel like the Russia, like the wicked person who's coming and just making claims against everything, saying that everything is false and not true or not worth it. Sometimes we do allow ourselves to enter the Tam energy, acknowledging, wow, this is very special to be here. It's a very incredible privilege to go through this world, to have this kind of a child, to be in this type of relationship, to live this kind of life in this type of setting. And then there are moments like Seder night where you and I really, really, really want to connect ourselves to the She'eino Yodea Lish'ol, the one who can't even open his mouth, which is the exact opposite of the word Pesach, because Pesach comes from the word Peh and Sach, a mouth that speaks. She'eino Yodea Lish'ol is the one who opens his mouth and nothing comes out. Nothing comes out. It doesn't matter what he does or what he doesn't do. But in order to let yourself go into each spectrum here, in each world, in each level, you must chuck the clock into the garbage. The watches off the hands, to turn off, obviously, anything that might be a reminder that you're confined in the constructs of time. Because to allow yourself to go through the expansive mindset, the mochin de gadlut, that we spoke about before, one must detach himself from anything that's a reminder that you're not capable. You're not capable of going there. You're not capable of walking into such big worlds. Seder night, the Seder, the order, is so supernatural that it makes it the real godly order in the world. Maybe that's why like we said before, that which I takes me a million years, sometimes I can reach in one night and say it tonight. Maybe that's why when that person had answered back to the Rebbe, Hakol b'seder, everything is in the Seder, it blew the Rebbe's mind, because the Rebbe knew, yes, the everything, the bigger picture, is really waiting for each of us to tap into Seder night. And there's so many moments to allow yourselves to go there and experience what the Haggadah is saying, and not just know what it's saying. So I'm going to sing for you one, bid you farewell with one last melody, one last tune, and it's also from the Seder table, and it's very, very, very close to my heart as well. And this is a song that Reb Shlomo Karlbach wrote many years ago at a chuppah in Tel Aviv in the middle of the night in 1972, I believe it was. And it's from the Haggadah of Pesach. Shoimrim, shoimrim, hafked le'ircha. Bechol alayla Shoyim li Afkei li ilchol Kol ayom, kol ayom Bechol alayla Dei shavavayim li Afkei da Afkei li ilchol Kol ayom lechol laila Shalayim li mafkeid hafkeid le'ircha Kol ayom lechol laila Shalayim mafkeid le'ircha Kol ayom lechol laila redemptive Seder night. And may all that's important and meaningful be what shows up to the Seder. And may all that's irrelevant, unimportant, and not meaningful not even find its way through the door. Shalom from the Holy Land.
The best place to stay in Jerusalem is at Windows of Jerusalem Vacation Apartments. Check out their website, www.windowsofjerusalem.com. They've got beautiful 1, 2, 3, 4 bedroom apartments in the best location in the city center. The view, the location, plus the wonderful staff will truly make you feel at home in Jerusalem. Book your stay now at windowsofjerusalem.com.
Have you ever planted a grapevine? What if the grapevine happened to be in the land of Israel? Not only that, but if you were a Christian planting this grapevine in the mountains of Israel, you would be fulfilling prophecy that Isaiah and Jeremiah foretold more than 3,000 years ago. I'm Joshua Waller with Hayuvel, and I invite you to fulfill prophecy on the mountains of Israel by joining us this harvest. Go to Hayuvel.com, that's Hayuvel.com for more information.
Jacob.